This is Leo Babeau for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It's been a while since we had a so-called regular version of the Wandering Nature News that I've been doing with naturalist Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park. Michaela, I forgot to ever point this out, but this is your first full summer season at the park, right? You came on board during last summer?
Yep, I am a few days past my yearversary at Gooseberry Falls State Park.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I have made it through almost one full summer, and wow, it went by fast. July went by fast. I can't believe we're already in August. So it's been crazy. I've been doing some reflecting the past few weeks. Yeah, the summer was different with the drought and everything, you know, and now we're already starting to think about fall, and I'm like, holy cow. I was here a year ago.
Does that make you ponder a little bit? Because maybe it was a more, quotes, normal summer when you came on board last year, but we've had a winter with some extremes, at least in the snowfall category, and then the dryness has been marked this year. I mean, I don't know. I think you told me before we started that things are darn dry again, and it's making it really tough to make observations of some of the plant blooms.
Yeah, things just aren't emerging as I would have expected. Plants I'm looking for are on the park, the bergamot, the obedience plants. Last summer when I got here were just so beautiful, and yeah. I was so excited to see
them
again.
Yes, you remarked on those at the time, and I wanted to go see them.
Yeah,
never
and
did.
Can't
see them now if I go.
Nope. You know, our more drought-resistant families in the sunflower family, the black-eyed Susan, the Jerusalem artichoke. I've seen some false sunflower, but those are really the three main flowers at Gooseberry right now, a little bit of yarrow, and the aster already started.
Well, and along with that, I want to ask about goldenrod. That's plenty started at my place too, some of the species.
Yeah, they've started, not full blooms.
Right.
I was looking at the goldenrod this morning. A lot of the aphids are dead, and I don't know if that's part of their normal cycle, if it's dry or if it was just localized predation I was seeing, but things do seem dry just everywhere now. I was remarking a few weeks ago and maybe a few months ago that Gooseberry seemed to be holding on to a little bit more of that green lush. I came back from being on the Gunflint Trail this weekend, noticing how dry it was there. Came back and noticed, yeah, we're starting to get that dry understory. I did notice some yellowing leaves on the birch already.
Sure.
And the maple in our parking lot, the mountain maple, when you pull in, typically it's one of the most beautiful trees we have to kind of show off the fall colors in the parking lot. And that one is already starting to turn a little bit maroon on top.
Okay. I've got some flaming red leaves too in my understory.
Yep.
In my woods. So these are the large leafed asters that are already blooming?
Yep. And the flat top or the parasol, the white aster is also blooming that I've noticed.
Yeah. And they are clearly, you know, they're a typical fall flower companion. It's the Vikings colors of the asters and the goldenrod. Yeah. I think one harbinger that might have shown what we were in store for was that I'm used to having a lot of fireweed in our open areas along the edges of our woods. And they were blooming in early July, which was about a month ahead of schedule. I wonder whether different plants respond differently to stimuli and just make a bet that they have to get their flowers out way ahead of what they historically do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had some fruit. I was amazed at the Juneberry crop, and I think we really lucked out with some of that July rain that we had. We had storms kind of every week,
good
and it
timing.
Was a good drenching rain, you know, that we had. But the raspberries are pretty dry. Blueberries was a really poor season overall and very, very early.
Okay. And I can remark that the raspberries, when they got a little rain, seem to be setting some nice fruit. That fruit is dried up in large part on the stems right now. But same thing with the thimbleberries, which are pretty abundant because we have some disturbed land at our site. So it's not very impressive observationally for the plant life, Michaela. But what about this time of the year where we're still several weeks away from maybe the wildlife taking note of the changing season, or are they even making preparation now for autumn?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think some very generalized notes I've been making, I just think some of the like broods and fawns and stuff, I think maybe survival was kind of low this summer in general for some animals. The young, what we'd call juves or juveniles that were born this year, they may have to stay awake longer or try to extend their foraging time,
right,
you know, before they go underground or something to kind of make up for some of this slow growth. And that's just kind of a prediction I'm making, kind of thinking how animals are going to make up before winter. They got to pack on the pounds or they got to keep growing. If animals go into fall hungry, obviously
yeah.
That's hard.
I mean, we talk mm-hmm. about, we've talked about energetics before, but I don't want to get too wonky, but reality is if that mast crop of the various mm-hmm. kinds of nuts and other fruits that dry on the plant that should be available but aren't because of the lack of moisture aren't there going into fall, where does that leave some of these hibernate? We're mm-hmm. talking about risk of low survivability of the winter.
Mm-hmm. This was not at Gooseberry Falls, but I'm assuming the red squirrels are acting very similarly there. But along the Gunflint, I was noticing the jack pine and some of the other spruce cones that red squirrels
right.
are just so rapidly eating and caching. And maybe pine cones, their crop maybe is less affected by drought. I'm not sure. Maybe the red squirrels do great with that cache crop, but it's already like they're already working
right.
to prepare and to make sure that their energy budget and everything is good going into the fall. So I don't think it's too early for critters to be thinking about that. But, you know, there's still birds that are growing out their first set of flying feathers, primary feathers, like
okay.
the grouse. And so they're still in their growth period. They're not, I don't know.
So the parents haven't gotten the young ones through to the point where they're ready for anything like
no.
winter. And we're not trying to be the farmer's almanac here, making
no.
some
mm-hmm.
kind of conjecture about it being an early freeze or any.
No.
I don't see that. I think you and I both agree that the drought sets us up to have an abrupt kind of foliage change.
It's the vegetation that's gonna
yeah.
that we're talking about mostly,
yeah.
right? That we're thinking is gonna come to an early close. Maybe they'll drop their leaves sooner. Mass crop is just gonna be low. Production's just gonna
yeah.
be lower. Thinking, yeah. So that just. You and I just think about these things as we as
well,
we
one
look.
Critter that's definitely been affected, at least as I observe it, is the mosquito population
mm-hmm.
at my house is substantially down
mm-hmm.
in early August from what I had projected it to be when we got those July rains.
Yeah, insect, I think diversity and abundance is low this summer overall, which also affects all the animals eating insects too.
Right.
You know, I do think that, like I was watching some grouse pick through the grass and stuff over the weekend, and I'm just thinking, what are they even eating right now? I don't see as many insects out.
Yeah, and then I think of some other invertebrates. I think of slugs and or, you know, the grubs that the bears might be pulling out of decaying trees and thinking even they're probably depressed because low moisture is not conducive, high reproducibility of all the insects and invertebrates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little bit of a hurting period this winter, and I guess maybe, for all I know, it could start raining daily on August 10th
mm-hmm.
and not stop, Michaela, but I'd be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still hazy. You know, this summer is just, I've been mostly reflecting on how we just have to be prepared to be open-minded, prepared to expect the unexpected. That's kind of the mentality I'm trying to have, even to be looking at the drought. You know, I was walking along during my time off this weekend, trying not to focus on the negatives, but yeah, look for things I maybe wouldn't have been able to notice if the understory was as thick as it would have been.
Sure.
You know, we all need to have a frame kind of perspective shift. It's going to be hard. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. Those are the things I've been thinking about this August. How can we be open to change?
Yeah, your 1 year anniversary of serving the people at Gooseberry, and I know that summer must go by so fast because it's so busy, and that's
yeah.
probably a good thing, but it also could give you pause to say, where did my summer go?
Yes, yes. We did so many different programs last month. We got into the campground, and I'm going to lead that into our next point that we're also starting a few programs at Split Rock this month, so
excellent.
Friday the 11th and Friday the 18th, my intern, Zach, who you've met.
We've met him on the air.
Yeah, we'll be at Split Rock doing our nature cart, Loons and Wreck, down by Pebble Beach. We kind of set up on the trail last week because it gets really windy at Pebble Beach, as you can imagine. All of our stuff flies away. So we just set up in between Pebble Beach and the parking lot, and you can see us there.
Great.
For a little change of scenery.
It says here that you can learn what a common loon sounds and looks like. Well, you could have pictures. I mean, there aren't any loons on that beach, I take it. But who's going to be doing the common loon sounds? Don't tell me it's going to be pre-recorded. We're always rooting for you and Zach to give us live loon calls.
Well, on demand, we do have them.
Okay.
We play them off an app and our beautiful speaker. So we do not do improv songs on the beach.
I bring that up, Michaela, because we still have on the docket that we're going to try on a special version edition of Wandering Nature News to have Michaela and Zach back one more time and talk a little bit about those super cool loon vocalizations that we didn't get to the last time.
Yeah, so. And we are not experts. I thank you for jokingly calling us experts, but we will try to explain the difference in a few of the calls and why they make them and maybe when to expect to hear them, what the loons are saying. So yeah, we're excited to come back and finish the summer and talk about loons one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially to just remind people that several of the sounds that they might be hearing would be an indication that they don't need to get any closer to that loon, that they're enjoying our state bird enough from the distance they're at.
Yep, and they're saying, hey, you're scary. You need to back off. I see you close enough.
Well, Michaela, maybe it's a little abbreviated because of the lack of diversity of observations, but it's still good to touch base with you. Anything else that we can look forward to that happens annually at Gooseberry or the other state parks on the shore in the months of fall? I'm not even sure I know what happens in the fall at our state parks.
Well,
people are there to look at the leaves, but they don't necessarily go on a tour with you.
Pretty much. Although I'm still going to be out. I'll probably be doing nature carts on the weekends as folks are literally like lining up, you know, to come into the parking lot and stuff. And then I will be offering some more personalized programs like hikes and things. But it'll be probably me sitting outside a lot more, just talking to people as they come through. Maybe more generalized topics, kind of fall, what's going on, what can you expect to see in terms of critter activity, and then why do colors change, and what trees have the color I'm looking for. So, and then I'll be kind of promoting my snowshoe schedule that I'm kind of trying to develop a little bit more structure for this winter so people can kind of start planning on when I'll be available to take them out snowshoeing. So this summer gave me a really good kind of feel for how program scheduling can go. So I'll keep updating y'all about new programs. And we will be starting library programs again soon in September.
And those will be right here in beautiful downtown Two Harbors.
Yes, I have missed my library friends and, you know, being in the community. I love the fast-pacedness of the summer and just the activities and the diversity of stuff that goes on. But I do miss the community. I'm so excited to get back to some of my regulars.
Well, does this mean that maybe it's not that far off then from when we'll be doing some more creative art with nature?
Absolutely. That's going to be back on the schedule. And I'll be starting visiting some of my nursing home care facilities as well. So,
well, folks, we're not trying to hasten along into fall and jump through the month of August, but we all know how fast the time is going to fly. So, Michaela, thanks so much for dropping by, and we're going to try to schedule in the next week or two that last visit with Zach. We've already talked about loons, the penguins of the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. We've talked about wildlife-human interactions and the challenges that poses. It's been great visiting with you and Zach, and one more time to listen to some loon calls. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So while you're listening to Wandering Nature News, wander outside, look for some berries, appreciate them while they are here. That's what I'm going to be spending my August doing. So we'll be back in a few weeks.
Great, great perspective. Thanks, Michaela. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you on the radio, in fact.
Sounds
Take care
great.
Now. This is Leo Babeu for KTWH.